All right, visiting right now with Allison Van Inanam, who was the keynote address speaker for the Iowa Pork Congress in Des Moines. And she hails, well, originally from Australia, but more recently she is with the University of California of Davis. And Dr. Allison, I guess I was going to ask you a little bit about your address. You were kind of talking about maybe nostalgic ways of how we remember agriculture and how that compares to today, and whether or not the, as I understand the description correctly, is that, you know, the nostalgic ways probably, although they're nice to remember and memorable, but wouldn't really do the job, the trick today to try and keep up with a starving nation or a starving world. So let's, if you can, kind of share with us a little bit about your address that you had.
Sure, thank you. So I'm a geneticist, and that's kind of the perspective I come at this with, and look at the genetic improvements we've made in our food, plants, and animals over the last 50 years. And there's been tremendous gains in terms of the productivity of an acre of land, or the amount of pork off a pig, or milk from a cow. And that really has had this huge impact in terms of the environmental footprint of a bushel of corn or a glass of milk. And a glass of milk today is about one-third the greenhouse gas emissions that a glass of milk was in the 1950s, due to the fact that there was less efficient production systems. And so I think the kind of there's this romanticized vision of how agriculture used to be, and it gets kind of idealized as these were the perfect days. And if you look back, there was actually a fair bit of food insecurity in the 50s, and there was actually a real drive to increase productivity to actually provide food. And I think we've reached a situation now where food insecurity is not a top of mind concern for many consumers today, and we kind of take for granted the improvements in agricultural and innovations that have enabled us to have a plentiful food supply. And so it's my presentation looks at that, and some of the recent trends towards kind of demonizing different innovations, you know, GMOs, for example, where we've got products that are labeled with absence labels saying, you know, we didn't use this particular breeding method, GMOs, in the development of products. And what is that actually saying to consumers? Because if you look at the data, for example, GMOs have decreased insecticide use globally on cotton by 50%. I would think that's a good thing, right? I would want to support that if I was a consumer. And so I think that there's this false narrative out there that avoiding these technologies is somehow more sustainable. And the opposite is true.
Well, my observation has been that the society, the consumer, American consumer, wants to embrace all types of technology, but when it comes to agriculture, they still think of agriculture as being that famous painting by Grant Wood of the American Gothic, with a man with a pitchfork standing by his wife. And obviously, agriculture has advanced so much more than that. Why is it that you think that the consuming public is slow to embrace the technological advancements in agriculture, like GMOs or anything?
Yeah, it's a perplexing narrative. I think some of it is this naturalistic fallacy that anything natural is good and anything unnatural is bad, and so artificial is bad. But, you know, botulism and natural doesn't make it good or healthy or safe. And it's really, I would argue, the industry that most needs technology and innovation is agriculture, because it's undoubtedly the industry with the biggest environmental footprint globally. And so anyone that embraces less efficient forms of agriculture kind of needs to own the trade-off associated with that, which is that there is a bigger environmental footprint associated with that. And most people, if you ask them, care about the environment. Of course, everyone wants safe food. That's kind of a given. But if you are interested in that, blocking innovation in agriculture has these huge opportunity costs, especially around breeding, which I would argue, I'm a geneticist, so I'm a little biased, but has had such a huge impact on the basic sustainability of our production systems, that if you tie breeders' hands behind their back, there's very real opportunity costs that have to be associated with that, and that trade-off is rarely discussed, I think.
You know, one of the challenges that agriculture has is telling its story. There's a lot of times that there are myths associated with agriculture, and then you go into the perception sometimes is greater than reality. And there's a lot of people that perceive agriculture as that, with the crop protection products that we utilize, or antibiotics in livestock, or anything like that, that they're, like you said, it's the perception is bad. How can American agriculture overcome that negative image that the consuming public has?
Yeah, I mean, I think that image is put out there often by competing business interests that want you to buy their products, and so they kind of demonize conventional agriculture to sell their more expensive product. And I think you have to look at, well, what communication styles work well, and storytelling is a very powerful tool that is used very well by opposition to certain technologies. And, I look at the anti-GMO opponents. They often will use vivid imagery and storytelling and narratives, and we don't often respond in kind, and there's some very powerful stories to be told about agriculture that blocking innovation impacts farmers. And so if we, for example, took away all the tools of 2019 and went back to the 50s, who's the person that's most impacted by that? It's going to be the farmers, right? And so what does it mean, for example, if you block innovation to GMO corn? Well, what is going to be used as a weed control in its place? And what happens, and it happens in California where there's some counties that have banned GMOs from being cultivated, is the farmers go back to conventional corn and then they switch to a more toxic herbicide to replace glyphosate. And who bears the risk of that decision? That's the farmer. And to me, that's a real story that needs to be told, because the trade-offs associated with blocking innovation affect most directly the farmers. And it's you guys that will be bearing the brunt of that. And another thing we've tried from a communication perspective is I was involved in a documentary movie called Food Evolution that's available for free on Hulu that kind of does narrative storytelling around this particular issue of GMOs. It's narrated by Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I would highly encourage you to watch it because it tries to tell the story in an interesting and compelling way rather than perhaps the more information-bashing approach of most scientists when they're talking about this. And sometimes I think farmers too, and it's your story, you're the ones getting affected, and I think that farmers are the best people to tell what the impact of this would be and what the trade-offs are.
Does the farmer still look to be respected, and his voice is still respected and credible among the consuming public?
I think they are, and especially I've done a lot of Q&A sessions where something incorrect is said and a farmer will stand up in the audience and go, that's actually not true, I'm a farmer and what you just said is not true, and this is how we farm, or this is, and it's really hard to say, oh, what you're saying is not true. I mean, you have a lot of credibility in your field of expertise, and it's always ironic to me that it seems like when it comes to agriculture that often the people that get interviewed about it are everybody except anybody that knows anything about agriculture. And so you've got an entire land grant system of scientists that work in agriculture that are rarely consulted by the media, and yet you'll have chefs and, you know, celebrity doctors and movie stars talking about food production systems, and I'm like, why? Why are they the trusted source on this? Why not farmers that actually farm and scientists that research this area? It's kind of perplexing. I think it's because everyone eats, so therefore everybody thinks they know about agriculture, and it's more complicated than that. And it's easy to do these simplistic narratives of kind of black and white, you know, good and bad, I'm sustainable, you're evil. And it's so much more nuanced and kind of more, we need a more grown up conversation about agriculture. I think it's at the moment there's just this kind of divisive and, you know, us-them kind of mentality, which isn't helpful.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate that.